All right. Thank you, Gregory. As you have already experienced this morning, if Randy and Sheila Patterson are in town and visiting us, he's going to be talking the whole service anyway. And so I just always include him up here with me. And so we're going to be tag teaming through this passage today. And it's a blessing always to be able to do that with him. I grew up watching The Wizard of Oz. And like many people, I was both terrified and mesmerized by it. And so when my oldest Bailey came home over the holidays, and she was going on and on about this new movie that was out called Wicked and about how I needed to stop everything and go see it, I have to admit I was a bit skeptical. Now, I knew that Wicked was a popular Broadway musical, but I had never watched it. I had never listened to it. In fact, I was completely unfamiliar with the plot, other than I knew it was somehow connected to The Wizard of Oz. So we went during the holiday weekend, and I must admit, Bailey will probably be watching this later today, I will admit that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a fun story. I thought the soundtrack was great. But you know, what's interesting to me about The Wizard of Oz, a film that was first shown back in 1939, is just how through the years it's become so embedded into our culture. So much of it is just a part of our culture now. Classic lines like, there's no place like home, and I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. It's just become part of our everyday vernacular. The song Somewhere Over the Rainbow has been sung by everyone. The phrase, being a tin man, comes from The Wizard of Oz, and it's used to describe someone who's cold and emotionless, someone who has no heart. The phrase, just follow the yellow brick road, is a popular idiom used to represent any clear or well-defined path towards a goal. But the one that comes from The Wizard of Oz that I want to bring our attention to this morning and highlight is the phrase, to pull back the curtain. Now, that phrase is not actually spoken in the movie, but that phrase comes from the scene where Dorothy and her friends discover that the wizard is not really a powerful magical being, but just a man with levers and buttons who makes it appear that he's magical. And so the phrase, to pull back the curtain, is very much a part of our everyday language, and it comes from The Wizard of Oz. But it means to reveal something that was previously hidden, to reveal something that had been concealed. It's like opening up a curtain on a stage to show what lies behind it. Now, let me explain why that's a very important phrase to us this morning. Last week, I mentioned to you that many churches around the world recognize last Sunday as Ascension Sunday. It was the first Sunday for the church to gather following the ascension of Jesus Christ, 40 days after Easter. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost literally means 50th, because it was a Jewish feast that was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. And so, similar to Ascension Sunday, many churches around the world today recognize today as Pentecost Sunday. And the two Sundays are always back to back in the church calendar. There's Ascension Sunday followed by Pentecost Sunday. Now, we recently started a series through the Gospel of Mark, but we've pushed pause on that series just for these 2 weeks. We'll pick back up in Mark next week. But just for these 2 weeks, we've pushed pause so that we can emphasize the ascension of Jesus Christ. We've been sharing with you this year about the full message of the gospel, about the whole career of Christ. And I like to refer to it as the parabola of salvation, or the smiley face of salvation. When you share the gospel, when you talk about the good news of Jesus Christ, there's a descent and an ascent. And it's been my experience in the church that we hear lots of sermons at Christmas about the descent, about the incarnation. And we hear many sermons at Easter about the cross and the resurrection. And then we're quiet. That's where it stops. I've not heard many sermons on the ascension, but the ascension is an equally important part of the good news. And so that's why we wanted in the church calendar, kind of liturgical church calendar here on Ascension Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, to emphasize the ascension. So with today being Pentecost Sunday, it's an appropriate Sunday for us as the people of God to read from Acts chapter 2. However, the specific reason I chose this text is because in these verses, Peter pulls back the curtain. He pulls back the curtain for us to show us an important behind-the-scenes look into heaven. He pulls back the curtain and reveals to us a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the ascended Jesus on his throne. Let's pick up again in verse 32 and begin reading. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. So Peter, many of the other apostles, have witnessed the fact that Jesus was raised to life. But the next verse, verse 33, is where Peter pulls back the curtain for us. Listen to verse 33. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So the phrase that he mentions there at the very end, what you now see and hear, points us back to the beginning of Acts chapter 2. When suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where the disciples were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the people heard this sound, they all came together in great bewilderment. Now that's what was happening. That's what everyone could see and hear. But what they couldn't see and hear is what Peter now shows us in verse 33. Peter pulls back the curtain for us. Here's what they could not see and hear. Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured the Spirit out upon you. Here's what we see behind the pull curtain. Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God. In other words, when Jesus went up, he went all the way up. Because there's no higher place to go than the right hand of God. About this time last year, Karen and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and we went out to Colorado. And we went to the Rocky Mountain National Park, where we ascended to a height. Get this, this is really high. Yep. 12,005 feet above sea level. You would not have enjoyed that, Randaddy. But that's the highest place I've ever ascended to. But listen, that pales in comparison to the right hand of God. The right hand of God, I want you to know, is the highest place. And here's why Peter pulling back the curtain for us and showing this to us is so important. Two reasons. It reveals two important realities about the ascension to us. Number one, it reveals Jesus' equal status with the Father because he's side by side. The Father isn't up here and Jesus here. He's at the right hand of the Father. They're side by side. There's an equal status that Jesus has received through the ascension. And it reveals his role as Lord over all. He's at the highest place, above everything else. And so we are thankful for Peter pulling back the curtain for us. Because by doing so, we get to see the place where Christ is right now. He's at the right hand of God. The ascended Jesus reigns at the right hand of God right now. Today, this very minute, it is an essential, non-negotiable part of the gospel. You see, all of the gospel is good news. And each part of the gospel is its own good news. The good news of the incarnation is that Jesus loves. He loved us so much that he would come from heaven to earth. The good news of the crucifixion is that Jesus saves. On the cross, he took on all of our sin. Everything, every bad thing you've ever thought, done, every bad intention, he took it on, all of it. And Jesus saves, and that's good news. The good news of the resurrection is that Jesus lives. Death no longer has a sting. He took it out. It's gone. And the good news of the ascension is that Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. And that is such good news to us. That is such good news to a world full of despair. There's such good news to a world full of doubt. That's such good news to a world full of tragedy and difficulty and disease. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. Jesus loves, Jesus saves, Jesus lives. This is all good news. In addition, the good news of the ascension is that Jesus reigns. Peter pulls back that curtain. And we see the ascended Son with the Father in heaven together sending the Spirit to accomplish their will in the world. I've asked my good friend Randaddy, normal people call him Randy, to come and talk with us more about the significance of the ascension, of the descent and the ascent of Jesus Christ as we emphasize the full message of the gospel of Jesus. Randy.
Let the church say amen. Hey, let's have a word of prayer because what Jared had laid out for us has just been tremendous. It really has. And I just wanna come in and open up the water holes just a little bit more. So sit back, get your pencils ready, get your notes ready, and we're gonna hit this thing, and I'm gonna give you my points before I go back to it and just lay out the foundation what I want you to have. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. And as always, Lord, your word is so, and it's just so good to our soul. And I pray, Father, that we just didn't wait to the word to be preached, but I pray that through our singing, through our communion with you and with each other this morning, Father, that our hearts have been opened so that your word can be easily come into our hearts and our minds this morning, that your spirit will be able to work from the things that even Barrett has said this morning. And so, Father, be with us as we just try to make these connections. Bless our time together. Be with us and watch over us through the rest of the part of the lesson. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Hey, it's just good to be with you, Southside. Anytime I'm here, me and Sheila, and so we're just so blessed to be with you this morning. You know, earlier we was at Panera Bread with Trace. And, you know, Trace got one of those spirits about him. And I was telling Sheila and Barrett this in the car. Man, I just love being around him. Let me just give you an idea of what I how I feel about him. You imagine yourself just being in the desert for 3 days and then had nothing to drink. And you run across Trace. And you're sitting there with your tongue out. And then all of a sudden, you run across Trace. And Trace just say, hey, how's your day? You know, and I mean, so, and he just brings you into his life and into his conversation. That after a while, you kind of like, I'm not even thirsty anymore. This man have filled me, and I don't even feel thirsty anymore. That's the way I feel about being around Trace. So I just love being around him, and just love being around you guys. And just the experience of just having Jack Parker and Simon, you know, kicking off marriage. And I got some of my other guys here, Logan and Yoshi, that, I mean, man, it's just been a blessing, y'all, these last 3.5 years up in Lipscomb, being with these guys. Just been tremendous. And so I just want to say that. But I want you to hear my points about how important the ascension is. So point number one, I want you to write this down. Then I'm going to come back and fill in. Point number one is this. Jesus came in the flesh and rose in the flesh. Okay? Jesus came in the flesh and he rose in the flesh to redeem. And this is what I want you to put in parentheses. Jesus came in the flesh, rose in the flesh to redeem all humanity, which is flesh. Point number one, I'll come back to it. The second point I want to hit that me and Barrett have been talking about and wanted to make a point about this ascension, how important it is. Point number two is Christ descended in order to bring God to humanity. Okay, write that down. Christ descended in order to bring God to humanity. And then my last point is this. He ascended to bring humanity to God. Ooh. Let me turn my page. Let's get down to this. Without the 3-in-1 God, the ascension could not transpire. For each one had their respective part to play. Each one had their role to play when it came to the ascension. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. This right here just didn't begin just because of the ascension. This started way back, y'all, and gives us a glimpse of the curtain being opened, even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. When God said, the Bible says, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, it was formed, it was void. And then you find out in that same verse that that was hovering over the water? The Spirit was hovering over the water. Then you go over to verse 26. I just want you to see this connection. That verse 26 talks about, let us, what? Make men in our image. And this continue on in their role and how they came about being active and being unified since the beginning. Now, I want to go to my point right here, and I want to share with you that Jesus came in the flesh. He rose in the flesh to redeem all humanity, which is flesh. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Can y'all hear me out there? Amen. All right. Now, when you get Matthew chapter 1, let me know about saying what? Amen. Because you need to be with me, church. You know how this works. Now. Before we get down to the verse I want you to see, which we're going to be in verse 22, here's what I want you to look at. My pulpit's falling. Okay, I want you to see, I couldn't put my elbow on it. So I want you to see verse 18 first. Listen to verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. The birth. He didn't come in spirit. He came in the what? The flesh. You got it. He came in the flesh. Now, this is very interesting, y'all. Now, drop down with me to verse 22. We're going to quickly hit this. Verse 22, when you get that, let me know by saying amen. It finishes up the verse from 21, from 18 down to 21 by saying, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, that's a prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which was prophesied 700 years before he came into the flesh. Y'all feel what I'm saying? Now, let's just think about this for a second. You can write this down. You can ask the Egyptians. You can ask the Greeks. You can ask the Romans. You can ask any so-called God that you want to come up with, even in our modern time. What God of these gods have ever came in the flesh? Which one? Listen, in Nashville, Tennessee, we got a thing out there that sits in the middle of Nashville called the Parthenon. It's a temple. I've been to the one in Greece. It's the same size, the same replica. The whole thing is built just like it was in Greece. Now, here's the thing. On the inside of that temple is that they got the Greek god Athena. She's in there, 90 feet tall. She's got a sword. She's got a big old snake. That's why I don't go in there. She's got a big old snake behind this shield. And she is the god. She is the goddess of wisdom and warfare. This is Zeus' daughter. But I never seen her in the flesh. No one ever talked about her in the flesh. You name all the Greek mythology. You name all of these gods that the Egyptians were serving. Which one can tell you they came in the flesh? Zilch. None of them. But our God, who said what he says in there, Emmanuel, which means God with us. He came in the flesh. I want you to see that. See, God is, our God that we serve is no distance God. He came in the flesh to be with us. That's very important. No other God has done that. They can't claim it. They can't claim it. So let me go to point number two. Point number two. Christ descended, came down in order to bring God to humanity. You know, I don't have this verse on here, but I want you to go ahead and be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to see something about this. We're going to build three little verses out of this right quick, because I don't want our time to run out. And I want to make sure you're out here by 2 o'clock. So I want you to get 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, what's interesting about where I'm about to take you is that Christ descended in order to bring God to humanity. Okay? This is very important. Now, I want you to see this because two of the verses I'm going to read to you, Christ have already ascended. Okay? Then I'm going to read one to you where there's a conversation take place where he's in the flesh. Okay? So these two I'm about to give you, he's already have ascended. But listen to what Paul says through the writing of Timothy. Drop down to verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Okay? Let's read that. Well, you got to let me know by saying amen. For there is one God and one mediator between God and what? Mankind, between flesh, between humanity, is what? The man Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator that have ever came in the flesh, and that man was Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to see how important it is that when we go back up and read and then just bring this right back down to the same verse, listen to the context. Listen to the context. Go up to verse 1. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge you then, first of all, that petition, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for who? All people. For kings and those who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. And please God our Savior, who want how many? All people to come to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All humanity. You got to keep that in mind. And then that's when he says, for there is only one mediator, there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man for mankind is the man, Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, right quick. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, church. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to see about this. Okay? Because remember now, he has descended. in order to bring humanity to God. We already see from 1 Timothy, there is no one else who can do this that came in the flesh. Now, watch this. Watch this. You're going to read this a little different now. Acts chapter 4. Next time you read this, I want you to see here how we're going to read it. First, we're going to read it just like it says. Okay? Verse 12. Verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to what? Mankind, by which we must be saved. Let's read it a little different. Since we're talking about Christ have descended in order to bring God to humanity, listen to how we read it now. Salvation is found in no other flesh. It's found in no other flesh. For there is no other name under heaven which was given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other flesh. You can't come up with no one else who can give you salvation. I don't care who they are. He's the only one who have came in the flesh. Now go to John 3:16, and this is going to make a little difference in your life now. This is going to make a little difference in your life. John 3:16, very familiar passage. Everybody knows by saying what? Amen. Amen. Verse 16, and then we're going to get to point number three. Point number one, what? Jesus came in the flesh and rose in the flesh to redeem all humanity, which is flesh. See, here's the thing about the resurrection. Here's the thing about the resurrection. Because you have these theories out there, you know, and what made the resurrection so powerful was the Roman soldiers. Because they had to go back and report to their bosses, hey, this man is not in there anymore. Then Pilate and the rest of them had to come up with this, fetch this lie, say, well, somebody stole the body. That's what happened. Somebody stole the body. Some theories say, well, he never died on the cross anyway. You know, this swoon theory, you know. They got all these theories out here. But Jesus had to come in the flesh. He had to be resurrected back in the flesh, which he did. Without that, let me go on. Okay, so Jesus came in the flesh and rose in the flesh to redeem all humanity. That was point number one. Point number two, what we're going to close out is with this one is Christ descended in order to bring God to humanity. Christ's life, his life, death, burial, and resurrection was where he brought humanity to God to say, I'm going to live this out. Now, here's the point I want you to see in John 3:16. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Listen to that. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? See, Jesus is alive when he's saying this because he's talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus is basically saying to Nicodemus, I'm the only one in the flesh who have come from God that can save you. And not only just you. See, what threw Nicodemus off is Nicodemus is having this conversation, and all Nicodemus have in mind is his own people, the Jewish people. And he want to know, are you for us to get the Romans out of here? Are you for us? And Jesus basically saying, listen here, man. You on another plane. And he says to him, I'm the only one that have come in the flesh that can redeem humanity. And here's the thing I want you to see. When he says to Nicodemus, whosoever, that threw him for a flip. You mean to tell me you here for the Romans as well? Are you telling me whosoever that Pilate can believe in you, that these treacherous Romans can believe in you and put their trust in you? Totally. Yes, they believe in my finished work. If they believe everything that I've came here for, sure they can. And Nicodemus is there. He's just all over the place. I cannot believe this. You just didn't come for us? No, Nicodemus. Here's the last one. Christ descended in order to bring God to humanity. He came in the flesh. See, this is, watch this there. John 14, verse 6, where he says, for I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Me. And you know what the next verse talks about? Philip says, well, show us the Father. Jesus says, boy, well, this is my word. He says, boy, you mean to tell me you've been around me so long that you don't know that the Father's in me? When you see me, you see the Father? The works of him is in me. Oh, come on, Philip. Wake up, brother. Wake up. Now, here's what I want you to see. He ascended to bring humanity to God. Okay? And that's what I'm talking about, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. Now, here's where we want to close at it. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Now, we're going to do what we call an overlay. Okay? We're going to peel back. I want you to get Matthew chapter 27. And when you get there, I want you to hold it. Okay? Amen? Matthew chapter 27. Once you get there, and I want you to hold it. And then I want you to get Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And when you get there, let me know by saying amen. And if you want to do it like I got my Bible, just kind of like, if you ain't got a little tassel in there, just kind of hold it like this, okay? Because we're going to peel back a little bit. We're going to go behind the curtains, okay? When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Now listen to this, y'all. He ascended to bring humanity to God, okay? Now watch this. Listen to this conversation. He's on the cross, verse 38 of Matthew chapter 27. When you get to verse 38, Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, let me know by saying amen. Now listen to this, church. Two rebels was crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Save yourself and come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. See, everybody's coming in on him. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. Listen to this. He's the King of Israel? Well, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. Next insult. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." And in the same way, the rebels who was crucified with him heaped insult on him. Verse 43. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, he said, "For I am the Son of God." Did y'all see and hear that? Did y'all see and hear that? I don't think you did. I don't think you did. I think you heard what I said, but I don't think you saw what I'm talking about. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Now we're going to see it from a different angle. Now we're going to peel back a little bit. Now watch this. Isaiah 52, you there? Let me know by saying amen. You want to write this down? Verse 13. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." Now watch this. "Just as there was many who appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form, his body was marked beyond human likeness." Now, go back over to Matthew chapter 27. And then let me read it to you again. Because you got to see this. Now, since you got that in mind, here's what I want you to see. Go back to verse 43. "He trusted in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him." See, back up a little bit. Here's what I want you to see. They are seeing the crucifixion in the wreckedness, in the marred body of Jesus, and they are seeing what Isaiah is giving us a picture of. His body, he is so disfigured beyond human likeness that when the people in Jerusalem are looking at him, they are saying, "He's the one, he's the Son of God." Listen to this now. Watch this. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. And what they're looking at is, you so jacked up, you so messed up, you gonna tell me God wants you? You so ripped to shreds, and you are telling me God wants you? As ugly and messed up as you are, you mean to tell me God wants you now, Jesus? And what we have done to you? That's the picture. And guess what happened? Here's what I want you to see. And God says, yes, I want him. I want my son. I want my son. How does this play out with us as we close? And here's the thought. Satan is saying to God, look at humanity. They are a hot mess. Your humanity, this creation of the flesh that you have brought into this, they are a hot mess. Send them where you're going to send me. Send them where you're going to send me. And God says, no way. Because you know why? You know what made God say yes, that he came after us, was one thing. My son did it all. And if I won't reject him, I won't reject who? You. I don't care how much of a hot mess you are mine, and I'm coming after you. And Satan sit there, and his heart is broken. I just heard this past week you had a funeral here. A blessed young lady that had passed away tragically. I heard about the funeral. You know what? She's home. She's home. She's home. And see, in his ascension, the apostles and all are watching him go up. And as he makes his way up, he turns around, and as he looks into the pits of hell, he says, night, night. Night, night. Night, night, Satan. Because I'm coming back, and I'm going to put you in your right place. Night, night. Can you feel that? This is ascension. See, people want to think, well, you know what? What if Jesus stayed around this whole time? Are you kidding me? If Jesus was still living today, you know what I would say to him? Brother, I thought you were supposed to be going home. What are you still doing here? Something is wrong if Jesus was still here in the flesh. Because if he was, that means the Father would have denied everything that he had done. And Jesus said in John 13, I'm going back to the Father from which I came. I'm going back home. That's what he told the apostle before he was crucified. I'm going back home. Night, night. Yes. And if you're sitting out here and you don't know Jesus Christ, and I hope and pray that somewhere in your heart that you can feel what Mary Berry was talking about. Because, listen, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was just part of the story. He had to go back to the Father like Barrett was saying. And you know what he's doing right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's my advocate. He's making intercession for me. He's living out the life for me. When I'm down and I have sinned and I fall short of his glory, he comes down and says, you my boy. You my boy. Get on up. Keep looking at the cross. I didn't give up and you don't give up. Come on, church. Come on. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Rest in the finished work. Not in yourself, but rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's all I have for you, church, this morning. But you got to get comfortable, because you know what? When Jesus ascended, baby, he said to the devils of hell, night, night, because your plan didn't work. Night, night. You thought you had me on the cross. night, night. You thought you had me in the grave, night, night. And then all of a sudden I came out. I folded my own laundry, made my own bed up, and I came out of that bad boy, and I said, listen, night, night.
Let's all stand.